Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
We share our yard with a host of hungry critters that can inflict damage when sitting down to dine. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our experts in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hey, Murph.
Good day, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we have two questions about dealing with deterring wild animals in our yards. And the first one comes from Lori in Lexington, Illinois. She says, is there any organic way to deter raccoons and chipmunks?
Okay.
So, and we're organic. Mm-hmm. So we're focusing on that. We don't want to hurt any animals here on GLT's Grow.
Right. So we cannot talk about toxicants, because toxicants are one way to eliminate rodents and ground critters, and that's not the scenario we're looking for here. You don't need any special permission to deal with rodents, but with the raccoons and the chipmunks and things like that, handling them organically usually means discouraging them from having a habitat, managing their habitat to discourage them from setting up camp there. And the most organic way is to trap them in a live trap and redeposit them elsewhere.
And that's best left to the professionals,
and
isn't
it requires a license.
Yes.
It is something that you can hire professionally. They have to have a license, and you do too.
Oh, really?
So if you go to the garage sale and somebody sells you the live trap, because I see them for sale at garage sales all the time.
That's right, because you go to Farm and Fleet, you buy one, you trap something, and then, well, what are you going to do with it? Let the kids play with it?
Yeah,
no.
I know. That's a great point, Laura, because what you cannot do is take it down the street to the local park or forest preserve and release it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to release it on private property, and if it's not yours, you should have permission to release it.
So make sure that you're dealing with this legally and get your license and get a professional to deal with it. But, you know, I have to wonder, if they're setting up shop in your yard, could you just eliminate their food sources so they decide maybe this isn't such a plush place to live?
That's one half of it,
mm-hmm.
is to eliminate their food and water sources. So if you're feeding the birds and you have a bird feeder out, make no mistake, when the raccoons show up for work after you've gone to bed, it's resort city in that bird bath. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, wow, those birds are eating a lot of seed. Well, it's the raccoon dumping it all out on the ground so he and his friends, or she and their friends,
mm-hmm.
can just chow down. And who could blame him? Bird seed looks and sounds so delicious.
Right.
So the habitat modification is a good way to go. It can also involve things like eliminating their access. So if they're getting into your garden shed, patch that hole. If they're digging under the fence to get into your cat corral, I've seen landscapes where they have these little wired gravel floor areas for the kitty cats to play.
Uh-huh.
The coons will go right underneath of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so will other animals, the little ground squirrels and chipmunks both, because they're two separate animals. So there's some work required in doing that. So, you know, guards, barriers, and screens that reduce the access to their habitat. And scarecrows and frightening devices are helpful for raccoons too.
Put a clown in your backyard.
Oh yeah, if you don't want me to
anything.
Come over, that'll work too. Yeah. So, but we started off talking about, you know, what's legal. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is who you would want to contact, one, to get the permit, but also to talk to somebody to give you an understanding of what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You could also seek that kind of advice and get it quickly in a timely manner from Extension, from your local county Extension office. The varmints aren't protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act.
Yeah, they're not geese.
But it is something that falls under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife's reach.
Mm-hmm.
And
so obey the law.
Yeah, there's laws involved. So it's less critical with the varmints, but more important with the birds.
Okay. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty, this week humanely dealing with critters. And we have another question about critters. This is from Samina in Bloomington. She says that she has a full sun walkway leading up to her house where she's planted many different full sun low flowering perennials. And nothing survives the appetite of the unwanted resident rabbits. So she needs some help here because these flowers are the focal point of her entrance, and she's tired of being, you know, the bunny buffet.
Understood. That's really frustrating. You know, they're such cute little creatures, but
They're hungry.
How quickly they lose their cuteness.
They're like hungry hippos.
So there's a couple of store-bought products. One is called Ropel. And it has tobacco residue and pepper residue in it. And
it won't harm your plants.
It won't harm the plants or your pets. Your pets won't like it, but it won't harm them. Mm-hmm. So if it were to wash off onto a little puddle on the ground and kitty cat took a drink, it's just going to get a little spicy taste in the mouth. Mm-hmm. No harm. This stuff works, but its persistency is short. So when it's really hot and dry like it is here in the Midwest, you might have to reapply it every 2 or 3 days because the hot sun is going to make it break down quickly. And it's for sure going to wash away if it's cool and mild enough in the mornings that there's dew. That'll reduce its effectiveness. So you're respraying it a lot during the springtime.
So get a big bottle.
Yeah, you're going to need a lot of it. But knowing that, you could also make your own pepper spray, and you get some jalapeno peppers and a big bucket of, you know, couple 2 to 5 gallons of water, and you make a tea essentially out of the peppers in the water, and then you can spray that just like you would the Ropel. The persistency thing is still an issue.
All right.
It'll break down quickly. But this stuff works. You just have to stick with it. And, you know, because rabbits are all about multiplying, you can scare off the ones that are there before Mother's Day and think your problem is done. And then before Father's Day rolls around, there's little rabbits right back in the
next
same
generation.
Spot. The next generation is waiting for the Ropel or the pepper tea to wash off. There are other dusts that have the same compounds in them that you can get at Farmer Service or a reputable garden center.
But again, this is stuff that doesn't harm the animal. It deters the animal.
It deters them, and it makes what they're dining on less palatable. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. What about planting something that isn't very appealing to rabbits? Is there such a thing?
My personal opinion is there's not such a thing, because I landscaped off of the deer-friendly list in part of my career when I worked in the Chicagoland market, only to see the deer not pay attention to that list.
Didn't they get the memo?
I know. Well, they don't return any emails or phone calls.
Oh, they're so vexing.
So I just think you have to manage your expectations. Mm-hmm. If that existed, it would be available. You could go to the rabbit-free section at the garden center and not have to worry about it, and that doesn't exist.
And those companies would not be able to stay in business because it would work so well that, you know, pretty soon you just wouldn't have to worry about it anymore.
And I think when it comes to the rabbits and the groundhogs and the ground squirrels, different than the, you know, red-tailed squirrel or a fox squirrel or a gray squirrel, the rabbits and the ground squirrels and chipmunks, they seem to be more intimidated by the scaring devices.
Oh, like what's a good one?
A scarecrow.
A scarecrow?
Well, you know,
what about lights?
I just think this is
or
an
noises.
Interesting story, but not scientific. I know somebody that had the problem with the squirrels that they noticed when the Halloween thing that screamed when you walked up to the front door was there.
The rabbits ran
off?
The
rabbits beat it. The rabbits were scared of it.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
So that was like an audible noise. Mm-hmm. The Corn Belt Library System used to have a device that you could check out, and it had these chirps that were outside of our hearing, but grackles and blackbirds and rabbits and possums, they could hear it, and it would scare them away.
So something audible
might be
a really good alternative for Samina.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your question, Samina. And also to you, Lori, good luck with your critter problems. And again, as we say, first, do no harm. Do not harm the critters. And always make sure you're doing things the grow way. Now, next week on GLT's Grow, Ron in Morton is concerned about his white pine trees. He wants to keep them free of disease. We'd like to hear from you and get your gardening questions. Go to our website and submit those now at wglt.org/grow.